good evening. The 7 p.m. news on the national station of the CRTV with Vanessa Wunang Sinamung. These are the top stories. There are growing concerns over the severe shortage of blood at the 15 blood banks in the Northwest region, despite the increase in demand from patients. Managers of public and private companies in Cameroon have taken the engagement in conference in Douala to strictly follow the rules and regulations which govern their sector of activity. Meanwhile, our focus on today's news dwells on the socioeconomic impacts brought by the Viva Logan project in the far north region. These and more will be yours in a moment. Officials of the National Blood Transfusion Service in the Northwest region are raising concerns over severe shortage of blood at the bank, leaving the region's 15 blood banks unable to meet growing demand from patients. A recent research reveals that voluntary donation rates remain critically low, with rural areas particularly affected due to the limited blood access and persistent cultural misconceptions about blood donation. Sylvie Banta reports from Bamenda.
The Bamenda Regional Hospital transfuses about 95 pints of blood weekly, while other hospitals across the Northwest also struggle to meet demands from patients. Dr. Nuniela Elvis Fomuso says there is urgent need for more blood donors, especially with medical emergencies rising due to the ongoing social unrest in the region.
Based on our context, the number of casualties, maybe from stray bullets and injuries that we've had in facilities, a lot of cases still come and we run short of blood and need for more donors.
A representative of the National Blood Transfusion Service, Simon Joya, explains that low voluntary blood donation rates are due to the lack of blood banks in rural areas and cultural myths discouraging donors.
We are still below 30% for voluntary non-remunerated blood donations for the region. For instance, in the community-based organizations, we do have only one association within the community-based organization that meet up with the standard that is necessary for blood donation.
Advocates are now working to strengthen community-based organizations to raise awareness and boost voluntary blood donations in the region. Sylvie Bantar, CRTV News, Bamenda.
From the northwest to the littoral, where managers of public and private companies in Cameroon have brainstormed on the importance of being in accordance with the established guidelines of their respective companies. This was at the Directors General Conference organized by Professor Vivian Ondua Biwole, a governance expert. We get details of that story with Cynthia Etim.
According to Professor Vivian Ondua Biwole, there has been an increased occurrence of non-compliance observed in most public and private companies for the last 10 years. To ensure optimum performance and value creation of a company, compliance, which is a legal managerial requirement, is a prerequisite. Directors General, Subdirectors General, both chairs as well as heads of regulatory agencies met virtually and by video conference to better understand how to manage the plurality of multi-compliance requirements, especially as many top managers are said to be exposed to many risks in the management of their duties. Rigorous and responsible management with compliance is thus essential. Cynthia Etim, CRTV News, Douala.
We stay in the littoral, where the outgoing director of the Lakentini Hospital in Douala, Dr. Emmanuel Isumba, has been applauded for his efforts in reshaping the institution. The Minister of Public Health, Dr. Manauda Malashi, visited the hospital today to prepare the stage for the new director. Gladys Atemba Chechuma Banla completes that story.
The latest achievements of the outgoing director of the Douala Lakentini Hospital, Dr. Emmanuel Esomba, include the technical platform that has been equipped with state-of-the-art scanning machines, remote-controlled apparatus for X-rays, a cardiac catheterization room, and the latest generation ultrasound machines. Surgery is also one of the fields where remarkable improvements have been made to meet international standards, as the outgoing director of the health facility explains.
This health facility offers quality care and is proud to be one of the reference health facilities that has made it possible to considerably reduce medical evacuations. We have state-of-the-art equipment. Today, the Lakentini Hospital produces its own oxygen.
Beyond the infrastructural development, there is more that meets the eyes.
It is a clean health facility. There is no smell. We would not even think that we are in a hospital. We have personnel who have been well accompanied and managed. Also, healthcare has been given a more human face.
These achievements of Dr. Emmanuel Esomba, the architect of the new look of the Lakentini Hospital, according to the Minister of Public Health, Dr. Manauda Malachi, are commendable. Gladys Atemba Chechuma Banla, CRTV News, Douala.
We now talk youth employment with the Minister of Youth Affairs and Civic Education, exhorting young Cameroonians to rationalize their spending and save diligently for future projects in order to guarantee a peaceful and comfortable old age. Minister Munun Nafutsu made the call in Yaoundé today at the closing ceremony of the World Money Week and the third edition of the National Arts and Writing Competition on Economic and Financial Education under the theme Protect Your Money, Secure Your Future. The event was attended, among others, by the Minister of Employment and Vocational Training, Issa Chiroma Bakari, George Mwam.
Ndo Steph and Tiam Loic, who emerged second in the music category at the National Art and Writing Competition on Economic and Financial Education, thrilling the audience with their composition, which sensitizes the youth on the responsible use of money and sound financial decisions. This year, a total of 244 entries were received by the National Youth Observatory in five categories, from which 22 works of art were rewarded.
I'm Paula Namondo, the second for theatre art with a short story called The Wise Investor.
Two Joseph Atanga, a visually impaired candidate from Bamenda, received a special prize in the audiovisual art category for his outstanding work titled Beautiful Garden.
Imagine yourself as a garden. If you put your effort, your time, your energy in your garden, you attract businessmen to invest in your garden. In that way, you will protect your money and you will secure your future.
The permanent secretary of the National Youth Observatory, Armand Pierre Nvemea Tangana, has appealed for a platform to be created to follow up laureates to enable them to submit their works for international competitions.
Those productions were very pertinent, so we decided to propose to the minister to see how we can accompany young people before, during, and after the selection.
The competition, introduced in line with the World Money Week and the African Youth Month, is aimed at recognizing the strength, resilience, and potential of young people and creating platforms for them to connect and excel.
The 7 p.m. news on the national station of the CRTV. Experts attending the second ad hoc Cameroon Equatorial Guinea border meeting are expressing delight at the spirit in which the proceedings are going on. The two parties are reviewing the minutes of their three-day brainstorming before the document is forwarded to the ministers for their appreciation. Our special envoy, Alban Jembonde, joins us live from La Paz in Equatorial Guinea for details. Good evening, Albert.
La parte ecuatoguineana se ha felicitado por la entrega por la parte camerunesa.
Good evening, Vanessa. As you hand the microphone to us, it is the Equatorial Guinean Minister of Mines and Hydrocarbons, Domingo Mbaye Sono, leading their team of experts who is speaking. Proceedings have reached the moment of all attentions when concentration and focus is needed. Page after page, every word and sentence is being scrutinized in Spanish and in French. It is a moment when the authenticity and titling of every document is also being evaluated. For instance, the Equatoguinean delegation feels that this session be called the first and not the second to reflect a new beginning of negotiations on border demarcation issues decided by Presidents Paul Biya and Teodoro Obiang-Gemma Bazogo, and so should not be meddled with what happened in Ambam 40 years ago when no agreement was reached. But the Cameroonian delegation has retorted that, saying they feel differently, history remains history. The Equatoguinean delegation is also requesting more time to examine the documents tabled by Cameroon before any differences or misunderstandings will be debated upon in a date suggested for September 2025. Going by this roadmap, Vanessa, we could likely see that field trips to the border zone and for the demarcation process will take a little bit more time before they begin. As I hand the microphone back to you, it is His Excellency Jean-Claude Désiré Mengele Owono, Cameroon's ambassador to Equatorial Guinea, who is speaking as leader of the country's group of experts. Both heads have saluted the frank dialogue and fraternity in which the proceedings are going on. After their proceedings, the two ministers in charge of territorial administration will come in and also make an appreciation of the work done and the documents tabled before signing the blueprints. So the night is announcing to be pretty long here with the technical assistance of Yannick Ayakma. I am Albert Njembo, reporting live from La Paz in Equatorial Guinea.
Thank you, Albert, for the updates. Back to the nation's capital, the last phase for the inclusive and resilient CITES development project to enhance connectivity in underserved communities through the construction of roads and drainage systems has been launched in Yaoundé. While launching the final stage of the project, the Minister of Housing and Urban Development, Celestine Kechakoutes, lauded the efforts put together so far by the stakeholders involved, citing major achievements recorded. Details with FOC Babatunde.
Six regions, seven cities: Kuseri, Ngaoundere, Marua, Baturi, Douala, Kumba, and Yaoundé have witnessed the completion of four sectoral plans. 32.33 kilometer of road infrastructure constructed, pathways, as well as primary and secondary drainage systems partially completed in these cities. So far, more than 20 urban informative projects and sub-projects have been implemented in host cities, a move described by the mayor of the Kumba City Council, Gregory Mewanu, as first of its kind in the city. In 2022, 22.2 kilometers of primary road were built in Baturi. In 2023, 7.5 kilometers of road were inaugurated in Ngaoundere. In Yaoundé and Douala, the structuring of roads are being finalized. The execution of these projects, due to end in June 30th, 2025, will contribute significantly to the improvement of the living conditions of population and the sustainable development of Cameroon and cities.
Less than a year to the end of the project, Minister Celestine Kechakoutes this Wednesday used the opportunity to remind the stakeholders on the need to put all hands on deck for the realization of a successful project. She spoke to Babatunde in this excerpt of an interview.
We are going at the end of this important program to modernize and address the problem of environment, of sanitation, urban mobility in all these cities who benefited more than 80 billion that the head of state is investing in this city. We have 6 months to go, and it was very, very important to have a plan on top of the performance contract that we have signed to contribute on how to complete this wonderful program in these cities without any problem. I'm happy with the contribution of all the stakeholders. They have to follow up to make sure that all these more than 80 billion should go in the amelioration of the condition of our population, as wished by the head of state and his partners, World Bank.
Minister Celestine Kechakutes of Housing and Urban Development talking to FOC Babatunde at 15 minutes past 7 p.m. We now dive into our focus on today's edition of the news. The fifth and sixth sessions of the steering committee of the Logun Valley Investment Development and Enhancement Project, also referred to as Viva Logun, are underway in Yaoundé. These sessions were opened by the Secretary General in the Ministry of the Economy, Planning and Regional Development, Jean Chauffeau, during which it was revealed that the execution rate of the project this year stands at 27%. Gu Henry reports.
The Logun Valley Investment Development and Enhancement Project, also referred to as Viva Logun, is a fruit of cooperation between the World Bank and the Cameroon government. Activities carried out under the project this year include the hydrological and hydraulic survey of the Magad Dam, the effective takeoff of rehabilitation works on the irrigated perimeters of the company for the expansion and modernization of rice in Yagua Semri in the far north region. The fifth and sixth session of the steering committee of the project today are to assess the level of the execution of recommendations of the third and fourth sessions of the committee, appraise progress of activities, and examine the annual work and budget plan for the 2025 financial year. The physical execution rate of the earmarked projects is 27%, with a financial execution rate of about 24.2%. The Secretary General in the Ministry of the Economy, Planning and Regional Development, Jean Chauffeau, expressed satisfaction with the results achieved, adding that the Viva Logun project contributes to the import substitution policy in the rice subsector in Cameroon.
Gu Henry in that report. The Viva Logun project is a prominent development pillar in the far north, consistent with the pursuit of socioeconomic transformation as envisioned in the special plan of the reconstruction of the region. In the following report, our far north regional correspondent Sylvester Temken says the project is yielding enormous fruits as local authorities have taken several measures to accompany the beneficiary population.
The project for the valorization of investment in the Logun Valley, codenamed Viva Logun, seeks to provide sustainable irrigation and drainage infrastructure and to improve agricultural productivity in the Logun Valley. Since its inception, the impact is visible in the support of local farmers by delineating clear priorities and identifying obstacles to development, and thus ushering in tangible and enduring progress reflected in infrastructure and agricultural output. Local authorities, like Far North Governor Mijiawa Bakari, have been following up and addressing security aspects and other factors to ensure the noble objective of the project are realized. With Mayo Danai, which harbors the project, sharing a long boundary with Chad, enhancing transportation network is also a top priority for the movement of goods and persons, thereby stimulating trade and fostering economic growth. The resolve to maximize domestic rice production through the project is visible through the rehabilitation of irrigation drainage infrastructure in line with the transformation plan of the Rice Expansion Company through the rehabilitation of 12,000 hectares of rice fields. This project is making a valuable contribution to the structural transformation of the national economy alongside the special plan for the reconstruction of the far north region put in place by the head of state. Marwa Sylvester Temkin, CRTV.
And 2 years after the launch of the Viva Logun program, the initiative is improving infrastructure and boosting agricultural productivity in the Logun Valley. Faith Ngwang tells us more in this report.
2 years after its inception, the Viva Logun program is delivering on its promise to revitalize the Logun Valley. Enhanced rural roads now connect farmers to market, while modern irrigation systems have significantly boosted agricultural yields. Community members attest to these changes. I'm satisfied. The impact of the project is very positive. We want these actions to last long.
This is Project Viva Logon. It is really a communication of hope for the population generally and for youth particularly.
Officials echo this sentiment, highlighting the broader impact. Simon Junu is the Secretary General of Tavundu Cooperative.
The works of Viva Logon are already visible at the same race. We see Chinese on the field carrying out constructions, the Sages building. These are all works of Viva Logon. If they keep up this way, it is going to be advantageous for producers.
As the program progresses, stakeholders emphasize the need for collective efforts to build on these successes and ensure lasting development for the region. Marwa, Faith Ngwang, CRTV.
You are tuned to the national station of the CRTV, and this is the 7 p.m. news. On to more news, the Special Council Support Fund for Mutual Assistance, FECOM, has been described as a veritable engine for the development of Cameroon. The statement was made by the Secretary General of the Southwest Governor's Office, Gilbert Achakwinti, in Limbe today during a ceremony to launch the 50th anniversary celebration of FECOM. Details with Henry McCauley.
The ceremony was principally to outline the achievements of FECOM, present some of its challenges, and explain how FECOM is surmounting the challenges to push ahead local development in Cameroon. The mayor of the Limbe One Council, Florence Eposimboye, explains that FECOM is a linchpin in the development of our municipality.
FECOM has constructed modern toilets, boreholes in some primary schools.
According to FECOM's branch manager for the Southwest region, Mrs. Quetta Margaret, FECOM has realized close to 6,500 projects in the region.
We have all the imposing 32 council chambers, markets too. We have ongoing a Imojok Frontier Park, a park in Kumba, the My Dream School in Linde 3, just to name a few.
In spite of its numerous achievements, council officials say they are still expecting more from FECOM.
I'm Aboko Patrick Anki, regional president for the United Councils and Cities of Cameroon for the Southwest region. When it comes to the distribution of CRC, the council additional taxes, we have realized a lot of delay.
Representing the governor of the Southwest region at the ceremony, the Secretary General at the Southwest Governor's Office, Gilbert Achakwinti, hailed FECOM for being an engine of local development before urging FECOM officials to continue to build on their achievements. Henry McCauley, CRTV.
Still on the 50th anniversary of FECOM, this time around in the Northwest, where officials have organized an exhibition of their program, notably projects financed in different council areas and the refund of additional tax revenue with 100 billion francs, CFA. Mercy Kusi reports.
On display during FECOM's Golden Jubilee were images of giant structures and a wide range of other projects implemented in all 34 council areas of the Northwest, including a debt relief to councils. The chief of agency for FECOM Northwest, Augustine Ilume Kombe, attributes the success of their mission in the region to solid partnerships built over the years.
Above 100 billion has been given as additional council taxes to all the councils in the Northwest region. We have projects of the regional assembly that are ongoing, which will be projected soon to show the public what FECOM has achieved for these 50 years. The councils have been very receptive when we come with projects and they do their best to realize them on time.
The president of the United Councils and Cities of Cameroon for the Northwest, Dennis Awongdang, who is mayor of Fundong, cites the construction of a market complex in the council area, among others, as some of the footprints of FECOM, but he requests that their their procedures be further simplified.
It is only through FECOM that we can obtain funding for projects that make real meaning to our populations. What we are praying is that FECOM should look at the conditions that they pose before the funding takes place.
As part of the itinerary for its 50th anniversary celebration, the personnel of FECOM in the Northwest would be cleaning up the premises of some of their project sites. Mercy Kusi, CRTV News, Bamenda.
And in sports, the senior women's handball team of Cameroon have beaten their counterparts of Guinea by 32 to 26 goals in their opening game at the 26th African Women's Handball Championship in Kinshasa, the Democratic Republic of Congo. Berthe Onuku Abiabukun, goalkeeper of the Handball Lionesses, won woman of the match following her brilliant performance. Their next match will be tomorrow against the host country, the Democratic Republic of Congo. Onto these press releases, a serious accident occurred on the 25th November 2024 on the Yaoundé-Simalène motorway in its open country section and resulted in significant loss of lives. The Minister of Housing and Urban Development hereby expresses her sincere condolences to the bereaved families. Initial report states that this accident was caused by a broken down lorry abandoned along the expressway. The minister wishes to avail this opportunity to remind the motorway users once again of all the prohibitions related to the use of such express road, namely parking in unauthorized areas, repairing vehicles in the middle of the road, crossing the motorway, riding two-wheeled vehicles, or carrying out sports activities along the highway. All these activities expose both their perpetrators and other road users to possible accidents. And on high instructions of the head of state commander-in-chief of the armed forces, the minister delegate at the presidency in charge of defense shall on Thursday, 28th November 2024, as from 10 a.m. in Yaoundé, preside over a special meeting to evaluate security emergencies, especially in the crisis-hit regions of the country. The meeting will bring together the generals and commanders of the 10th Joint Military and Gendarmerie Regions. The meeting will be strictly in camera and shall have in attendance the Minister of Territorial Administration, the two Secretaries of State to the Minister of Defense, the Delegate General for National Security, officials of Special State Services, and the High Military Command led by Lieutenant Colonel Chief of Defense. And onto this other press release, the President of the General Assembly of the Cameroon Medical Council, the CMC, informs the national audience and the medical community of an upcoming Ordinary General Assembly meeting on November 29, 2024 at the Maison du Médecin CMC headquarters in Yaoundé. This meeting is part of the CMC's action plan. The assembly will focus on the central theme, social protection for physicians. It will provide an opportunity for members to discuss the critical issues related to this topic, as well as other essential matters for the effective functioning of the institution. The Cameroon Medical Council expresses its deep gratitude to the government of the Republic, particularly to the Minister of Public Health, for their continued support. The CMC invites the entire medical community to participate actively in this event, which represents a significant milestone in the life of the council. And to foreign news, three American citizens imprisoned for years by China have been released and are returning to the United States, the White House said Wednesday, announcing a diplomatic agreement with Beijing in the final months of the Biden administration. And Human Rights Watch says that security forces in Mozambique killed at least 10 children and injured many others during protests following a disputed presidential election election. And that puts a cap on today's 7 p.m. news, in which you heard there are growing concerns over the severe shortage of blood at the 15 blood banks in the Northwest region, despite the increase in demand from patients. Managers of public and private companies in Cameroon have taken the engagement in a conference in Douala to strictly follow the rules and regulations which govern their sector of activity. Meanwhile, our focus on today's news dwelled on the socioeconomic impacts brought by the Viva Logan project in the far north region. The news was brought to you by Vanessa Wunnan-Sinamung and supervised by Editor-in-Chief Simon Leunga. Thanks for listening. Good evening.